Of God who were helping him to speak it. For they heard Moses. But follow on. That is, they did not see the vision of Jesus who was addressing Paul. No wonder they were stupid, seeing the light and hearing Paul speaking, but not aware of any voice answering Paul. It is through God's grace that the resurrection and ascended Christ confronted this stunt enemy of the cross. It is through God's grace, therefore, that Paul in his epistle refers to himself as one called to be an apostle. Paul was equally sincere before the event on the road to Damascus as he was after the event. In many respects, Paul shows the same human characteristics both before and after his call by Christ. But the goal of these characteristics changed radically. Instead of a persecutor of Jesus, he became a promoter of Jesus. For God, in his grace, had determined that Paul should preach Christ among the Gentiles. God's grace is responsible for the covenant he made with the people of Israel in the Old Testament, in spite of their rebellious acts. God's grace is responsible for the sending of Jesus as Savior of the world, in spite of the unworthiness of the human race. God's grace is responsible for Paul's conversion to Christianity in spite of his previous opposition. God's grace is responsible for our salvation in spite of our fallen human nature. Not only is Paul's conversion an example of God's grace, which is active in all conversion, Paul's later service to the church, furthermore, should be a paradigm and example for all ministers of the gospel. St. Paul shows his sense of divine mission in the authority he assumes in addressing Christian congregations. He is clear as to the spiritual basis of his work. It is with deep conviction that he affirms the great truth of justification, salvation by grace, the redemptive work of Christ, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, and the cosmic significance of the Christian church. His conviction comes from his divine call on the road to Damascus. Such a relation vertically with the triune God results also in sincere concern horizontally for his conduct. Paul commands, encourages, corrects, and rebukes only because of a real affection for God's people. When expressing gratitude to the Philippian Christians for their generosity, or when admonishing those of Corinth whose actions caused him pain, his basic longing is for the welfare of fellow Christians. To the congregation that apparently causes the most concern, Paul turns his chapter on charity. The call of authority is also the call of love. St. Paul's love for people, the result of God's love for him, enables him to be merciful. He sets for himself the goal of being all things to all people, basically a desire to see the other person's point of view. Paul reveals a dexterity of mind and an ability for adaptation which is astonishing. Yet he never adapts his principles of his theological conviction to suit the situation. He is adamant in doctrine, but tolerant in adiaphora. While we may analyze Paul in what makes him fit, are we able to emulate him? The scripture says in the Making of Venice, if to do, were as easy as to know what was good to do, chapels have been churches and poor men's cottages since his palaces. Yet, we may thank God for his grace, exemplifying exhibited in Paul's conversion. We may thank God for his blessings in Paul's service to the church as a missionary to the Gentiles. We may thank God for his grace in our conversion. As servants in his kingdom, thanks be to God, we may draw on the power of the same Holy Spirit as